he was just speaking to me. It was like, what if you just learned to hit the bullseye with me, and then I will take care of all the outer rings of your life, and I will show up and show you my glory. But what would it look like to just sit with him and learn how to be still in his presence, learn how to hear his voice, learn how to be loved by him?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast. I'm Amy Peterson, and I'm really so glad you're listening in today. This season, we are naming some of the quiet, I know I should thoughts many of us carry. And today, I hear this one a lot. I know I should slow down and rest, but what is that but for you? But I'm too busy. But I can't let anyone down, but it won't get done if I don't do it. But someone always needs me. In the middle of ministry and family life, leadership and caring for people, here's the thing. Rest can start to feel like something we just talk about more than something that we actually experience. So if that's you today, take a deep breath and listen in. And I really think that this conversation will encourage your heart. Because today, my guest is Christy Knuckles. She is a songwriter, worship leader, podcast host, and author. Christy, I am so glad you're here.
I am so excited to be with you. Thank you for having me.
We went to college. We had mutual friends, but we went to the same university in Oklahoma.
Yes. Our husbands knew each other.
Yes, they did. And I was thinking back, they knew each other before we knew each other. Such great stories and great memories at Oklahoma Baptist University. Anyway, we have loved seeing God open so many doors for you in worship and in your podcast and through your writing. But you've done all this, as we've seen it unfold, while raising a family. So catch us up. What season are you in right now?
Our oldest, Noah, just got married this past October. So that has just been the biggest blessing. In fact, we have Noah and then the two girls, Ellie and Annie. And so Annie's in Colorado for a while. She'll probably, I think she's going to be back in August, but the girls hope to like maybe move in together actually in the fall. So we will see, but that's the season we're in.
I did so much preparation for the babies and the toddlers and potty training and all those things. I didn't put as much prep into this adulting stage. It is really, really interesting and so delightful and so fun to see them become their own people. But it's hard to know as a mom.
It is.
The stretch and the flex that comes with our roles.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
There are so many things that you've done, and that's true for so many of those who are listening, those ministry wives who are listening. And it's so easy for what we do to start defining who we are. And one of the questions that I loved that you have in your book, The Life You Long For, it really cuts through all that. And so I'm going to ask you that same question. How would you describe who you are apart from what you do?
So I am a very slow processing creative who is also very introverted. So it's just, you know, it takes me longer to just ponder things and to process things. And but I love people, actually. I love connection and friendship. And I will, you probably know this, I mean, I will talk your head off in a one-on-one conversation. So it's not that I don't want to be around people. It's, of course, just how I recharge. But I also, I love music and writing. And it is the way that I have not only communicated with God since I was a little girl, just through music, but also it is eventually what became my passion to help people find their words with God, whether that's song or whether that's through my podcast or writing, whatever. But yeah, I think just breaking it down, I love to help people communicate with a God who knows them and loves them and who is already pursuing them.
Okay, so today we are talking about, I know I should slow down and rest. And I know that was a screeching halt with many brains who are listening to this as they are driving from one kid thing to the next or one ministry event to the next. I just wonder, can you take us back to a season when you really felt that tension between busyness and rest and what that looked for, like for you?
Yeah. Well, honestly, it takes me back to early motherhood where, you know, I think at that point we had two and we're kind of thinking about having a third, but we were also at that time, you know, touring, pretty much full time. And the Lord, he let me hit a wall in my early 30s. I was already feeling that tension, but I didn't know how to stop. And at that time, there really weren't very many people talking about what it looks like, especially for young moms, or even just moms in the season I'm in, to be able to rest. And so I look back on that. In fact, sometimes weekly, I still thank God. And I say to him literally, like, thank you for interrupting my whole world to teach me what it looks like to not just live for you, but to live from you. And so it's really even hard to give ourselves permission to even stop and even listen to what God might be saying. And that was like, it was hard for me. It was a process of me going, okay, God, what are you even saying? And he actually asked me to lay down my career at that time in my life for about 5 years. I'm not saying he's going to do that with all of you, but it was that drastic for me. But it was like, what does it look like to go from living for him to living from him? What does it look like to go from feeling like a commodity in his house to actually, I'm a beloved daughter and a carrier of his presence, whether that's the grocery store today or carpool line or wherever he takes us. But yeah.
Can you flesh that out a little bit? And I guess I'm just wanting to give space for the exhausted that's listening. What did that wall look like for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, at the time it was, you know, I realized that I was in this pace of feeling like that we just needed to keep our calendar full. And it was like, you know, this is what we do for a living, you know? And I think that's, again, just a part of what's so hard is that ministry is tied in with our livelihood, many of us, you know, and the health of your marriage, the health of your husband, if he's a pastor, and, or if you're in ministry in any way, shape or form, it's like, your livelihood's tied into what you are doing for the kingdom. And so that was tricky, especially when I was looking at my calendar at that time in my life. And it was just like, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm called to do. I'm supposed to be using my voice to help other people, you know their words with God. And it's like, it's all a pure thing, right? Pure desire. It's coming from even the wirings that God has given you. And you have things that keep you up at night that he's actually put in you in terms of like how you are to be that carrier of his presence. So it gets really mixed up, doesn't it? Because these are all good things. But it was like the Lord was like, I want you to understand what it's like to live loved. And that sounds so basic, but it was like I realized that I was, you know, my dad was a pastor. I was raised in ministry family. My mom is a pastor's wife, and I should know of anyone what it's like to live loved. But the Lord was like, do you even really know how to receive? And this is why I want you to stop everything for a season of your life and know what it looks like actually to be my kid in your most unproductive days, to know what it looks like to not just be my kid, but also like, what is it like to be in like communion, inviting him in, sitting with him? I knew how to sing for him all day long, but I did not know in that season how to even sit with him. Like he had to teach me how to just be still in his presence.
And one of the things that you say in your book is talking about, we all have the capacity to do. And really, ministry wives are some of the hardest working, most faithful women that I know, and they carry a lot and pour out a lot, and so do ministry leaders in that. We have often a lot of capacity to do, but the capacity to receive from God, tell us what that even looks like. What does that mean, the capacity to receive, and what does it look like to receive from God?
Yeah. Well, you know, when I wrote the book on this, which was like 20 years after that season, I'll never forget. I was in Psalm 37 that afternoon. You know, delight yourself in the Lord; he will give you the desires of your heart. And you know, I sat with them. It was during nap time. I just washed, like, cleaned a toilet upstairs, so it was like, in the mundane, like for sure. And I started reading on, you know, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. I was sitting in that and I was imagining my cause, you know, which at that point was my ministry, just the things that we're talking about, the things that we all carry, the should do's and we have the capacity to do. And he was like, Christy, I'll never forget, just in my heart of hearts, as I was reading that scripture, he was just speaking to me. It was like, what if you just learned to hit the bullseye with me, and then I will take care of all the outer rings of your life, and I will show up and show you my glory. Like, but you're so busy running so ragged in the outer rings, and you're trying to strive and get it all done, do all of this. But what would it look like if you really could at least just, even if I remember I had to start with just 10 minutes a day of what it would look like to just sit with him and learn how to be still in his presence, learn how to hear his voice, learn how to be loved by him. I've heard the term, it's a Latin term, coram Deo, to just live before the face of God, like literally learn to go like, look up. And then even I learned that his look on his face is actually delight over us. But I think for some of us, it's just, we think that he's like looking down going like, why aren't you, you know? But it was like, what if you received in that bullseye? And then it was so cool. As I was even writing the book and that word capacity came to me, I thought the very first thing we all think of when we think of capacity is what we can crank out, right? Because it's just as moms especially, you know? And so it's so easy for us to just like, oh, capacity. Yeah. It's like what I got to crank out today. The other definition of capacity is to be filled. It is literally like what you can contain. And so then it's like that outer ring of our life, if we're living from the bullseye and you're living from the inside out rather than the outside in, by the time we are actually doing what we're called, not supposed to be, but just called to be, it's more like a filling of the Holy Spirit. And you know, that passage that says, be filled with the Spirit, the original language is be always being filled. It's like a passive imperative. So it's daily. And so that receiving, it also, I think we can even say, God, I need your help. Holy Spirit, I need a fresh filling of you today, but I also need your help knowing what it looks like to receive. And it's okay to pray. It's okay. Like, God, help. I need your help with getting 10 minutes to actually sit with you. Even if you need to like ask the people in your life, okay, I need you to help me to have your husband. If he needs to man the house, whatever you need to have that time with God, even if it does start with 10 to 15 minutes a day, but also there's no shame in like, God, teach me how to sit still with you and how to receive, but also that capacity, teach me, God, that the capacity is actually a filling. It's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. So
that is a word flip for me. The first red flag I have in my life when I'm doing instead of being is when my time with the Lord in the morning is sacrificed. And when I feel like I'm too busy for that. And what you're saying with the bullseye is that is the starting space for receiving. And you receive when you realize you don't have what it takes. That takes humility. I can't do this. I need your help today. Help me. But I think that is a really practical first step for anyone who's listening who is exhausted, who feels like they've hit a wall, is to carve out 10 minutes in the morning and just receive. Does that, you know, in my brain, I'm thinking of just like hands up, eyes out, and just being still, praying, asking scripture. I mean, all those things combined, is that what it looked like for you?
Yes. I think it's just whatever I'm going through that day, I simply invite him into it. But for me, it's literally like consecration. And that's a big word. But it's really like Romans 12:1. It's like, I'm offering, this is like my spiritual act of worship today. And I love that as a worship leader, because my tendency would be like, I'm going to I'm going to sing to you, Lord. And that's biblical. And we should sing to the Lord. But also, we have a song that is our life. And that, to me, is that big word, consecration. It's like, I'm set apart for you. God, I don't belong to myself. I belong to you today. I consecrate myself this day to you, my to-do list to you. And often I will say, God, bring kingdom order over my day. Kingdom order over my to-do list. And one of the first things I have to say is, not everything has to get done today. Confession, which I don't think we talk about enough. We know that as believers, God has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. But as we all know, in a marriage or even parent-child relationship, the purest, closest relationships to us are healed when we confess. I mean, and it just brings intimacy back, right? And so I love to think of us confessing our need for him, number one. But even if there's any place that I'm not obeying God and I know it, or I even say, like, God, show me anything, any place where I'm not trusting you fully, or if I am shouldering something that you already shouldered, show me those things. I confess it out loud. And then I confess what's true. And that's where the word of God comes in. And I know sometimes I've been in those seasons where you might be so exhausted that you don't even know where to go in scripture. I just often will just go to the Psalms and just start confessing. I read out loud in my time with God. And it's helpful, even if you have 10 minutes, it helps you to go, okay, I want to consecrate myself to you, God, today. I want to confess any place I'm not trusting you. I want to confess what's true. And then even if it's one verse that you want to just write down and confess what's true. And then that he's a God of order, and that those that will lead us to that communion place with him.
You know? Wow, that is so helpful and practical. And I can see that being a part of my day. And I think often I overlook that posture because it feels unproductive. God asked you to lay down your career for a season. How did you discern? Because that's something that I have conversations with ministry guys about. How would you encourage someone to know how to discern the yeses and the noes?
You know, because we are his daughters and he knows us and loves us. For me, when the laying down the career thing came, it was like it all of a sudden, what he asked lined up with my desires. So often there will be a desire shift that's kind of happening out of nowhere. Because I remember out of nowhere, I was just like, why all of a sudden do I want to be home? I don't want to be on the tour bus anymore. And of course, that is what I like longed to do for years, was to be able to tour. And it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, what? I want to be home. I want to like make things in my kitchen. And what is happening to me? You know what I mean? So he's good that way because he knows us and he's already put things in you and desires in you that, you know, he wired in you specifically so that he knows how to like walk with us in different seasons of life. And if you think about like what gets elevated in your heart when you get an opportunity, if it's like a sense of getting to be a part of what God's doing and like compassion starts stirring up or ideas of how you could bring your gifts to the table and it's like life-giving, that is like a yes and amen, right? And you can know like if that's stirring in you, that's most likely a yes. Or if what gets stirred up is that you immediately think it's a, I should take this on because after all, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But if you pay attention to how you feel, you might actually feel immediately drained at the thought of it. So it might look nice on paper and you're like, actually, this would be really good for my career, or this like, or is that shoulda, I, or I should, because I'm supposed to. But if you immediately just are like, oh man, I have no vision for that. That is of course a no. And I don't know, I can't tell you how many times I've said yes to those things and I can look back and it did not only drain me, but there was even a cost to it that was not worth what, you know, they're just, the cost was greater. And if it's a big decision, you should bring it before the Lord. But it's neat to pay attention when it's like, is it life-giving? What's being elevated in your heart for that opportunity. It's been a fun thing to kind of like discern with the Lord.
As you look back now on the time in which you did step away for about 5 years, did you have any regrets in making that hard no and stepping away for a bit? Or what did God teach you in that season about himself?
Now, I can't say it didn't cost me. Even in places where you think it shouldn't, the Christian music industry, or honestly, some of you out there might have experienced that it even has cost you in church culture. And I'm sorry for that, but that is the reality that many of us are faced with, that when you choose your family or you choose rest or you choose what you really do feel like God is calling you to do, and then you're almost, you're not rewarded for it. It's not celebrated. It's not the thing that everybody's cheering about. And that can be really hard. I haven't arrived at any place of, I just live a life of rest. And, you know, that was the beginning of the Lord just, number one, like, just giving me a grid for what it could look like and calling me into something that now I know immediately when I need to crawl back in the bullseye. That's the beautiful thing, is just because now I've just gotten to know him after all these years, and I know how much, he sees, just his son in me, but also like, my wirings, my giftings, like he knows us, he knows you. And it's so sweet when you start realizing, I was just reading in Genesis, when I think it's Hagar, that's like, I have seen the God who sees me. And I feel like that, if there's anything that the bullseye has taught me, it's just like, wow, like I see him see me in those moments with him. And I long for women to just know that there is that place, even in the middle of everything you're carrying, because you actually can work hard from a place of rest and go right back to that place of the bullseye and get filled again. And so that's, if anything, what that season just, it just gave me a rhythm of learning what it looks like to stay in that rhythm.
So when we're talking about this rest and how God invites us to rest, is there a scripture that has really shaped the way you think about the closeness of God, even in full seasons?
Yeah. Well, lately, it has been Hebrews 10. And there's part of that. It's actually in verse 19. And we know that Christ is the one who, because of his blood, we can now enter the presence of God. That's what this whole passage is about. Because he has opened up for us through the sacred curtain by means of his death for us, we get to go into the holy place now. And this is the NLT version, but it says, and since we have this great high priest who rules over God's people, let us go right into the presence of God with true hearts, fully trusting him. So let us go right into the presence of God with true hearts, fully trusting him. And so I just recently, it's been like one of the most vital things that we can do as women is keep our heart open to God. And like we've been saying, inviting him in. And the quiet time, even if you skip the big fat Bible study for the day, just invite him into your day. And that you actually, because of what Jesus has done for us, we get to just go right into the presence of God. I mean, I just love that. Isn't it beautiful?
And I think that is a great truth to close with, just because our sweet Father sees you, all of us, as a beloved. If you're listening and you want more, you need more, you're kind of like, yeah, but what about this? What about that? I just encourage you to continue this conversation with Christy through the words that she's written in her book called The Life You Long For, Learning to Live from a Heart of Rest, because she will walk you through so much more of this truth that she has lived out and continues to learn in her life. Christy, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.
As we wrap up, I just want to say thanks for listening. And before we go, we have something really special coming your way. A bonus episode is releasing next week. So be on the lookout for that. You won't want to miss it. Thanks for joining us on the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board.